Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
I'm excited for today. We're doing section number 3 in our series, Abide. The official title is The Word Feeds Our Spirit. But today, we gave it another title, The Best Bread Ever. So, obviously, I was doing this study while fasting, and so my mind was all about food. But as I was preparing this, I was thinking back to the best bread I've ever tasted. And in New York City, we have right around the corner from where we live, like a block or two away, they have this bakery that is famous. And there's always a line coming out the door. It's called Amy's Bread. And tour buses, like from Europe, from places like France and Italy, they'll come and they'll stop outside Amy's Bread and let all the guys go because it's a kind of a taste of, she makes these European breads that are just fantastic. And so I love going over there. This is a picture of just inside, just all the breads that they have. And that's making the bread look a little better, get us hungry. But my favorite bread, let's just hold on, let's pause on that one. Yeah, let's, no, back there, there you go. My favorite bread. And this is actually one of the staff of Amy's Bread, one of their favorites. It's called a pishaline, a green olive pishaline. And it's just amazing. Eat this bread, and you never want to eat a different bread. And I remember one Sunday, the city got snowed in, and so nobody could come. And so since I live walking distance from our church office, we said, we're just going to have church in the office. Anybody who can make it, come on down. And so I picked up a loaf of bread from Amy's Bread and some grape juice on the way. And then we had communion. And normally we have those little things and it tastes kind of like styrofoam, you're eating the bread, you know. But that Sunday, we had green olive pishaline bread for communion, and it was amazing. So I felt the anointing. I felt like God really loved that communion more than any others that we did. It might have just been me. But anyway, that's like the best bread ever. And so Jesus now is saying, you know, better than the best bread that you've ever eaten is the bread of life, is Jesus himself. And so what does that mean? We're going to look today, here's sort of a quick overview of today's sermon so you kind of know what's coming up. It says, why did Jesus call himself the true bread? What does it mean to feed on Jesus? And how do we feed on Jesus? And our theme scripture is John chapter 6, verses 57 to 58. The scripture says, I live because of the living Father who sent me. In the same way, anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate the manna, but will live forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for Jesus, the true bread of life that gives us life. And today, Lord, we just invite your Holy Spirit to be here and to open up the word to us. That, Father, as we share knowledge and information, it would be more than just words. It'd be more than just thoughts. But truly, Lord God, you would cause your word to come alive and be like that living bread to each and every one of us, that your Spirit would speak to each and every one of us, changing and transforming, nourishing our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So number one, why did Jesus call himself the true bread? What does that mean? Well, it's interesting because during this time when Jesus was speaking, it was actually a season of time known as Passover, kind of like Chinese New Year's. It was the big event of the year for Jews. Passover was when they remembered how God delivered them as a nation out of Egypt, where they had been bought in bondage for 500 years. And now God comes and he delivers them. And that's just a huge moment in Jewish history. And so they commemorate it. And one of the big commemorations that they have is what they call the Passover feast. And we've eaten several Passover feasts. I ate too much less yesterday, just after the fast, and you just keep eating so much. So the Passover feast was just the highlight meal of the year for Jews. It's a very famous meal. In fact, my first, when I first moved to New York City, there's just a lot of Jews who live there. And I remember the first building I lived in, I was on the first Passover, I was in an elevator, and there was two little Jewish kids, you know, the little ringlets and stuff, and they were riding up, and they're arguing with each other over whether or not they like Passover meal or don't like it. It was during Passover time. And it's two little kids, and so then they're asking me, what do you like? What do you think? Is Passover meal good or is it bad? And I'm like, I'm Chinese, I'm from Hawaii, I have no idea what a Passover meal even is, but they're just engaging with me and want me to be the referee between them, you know? And so, but this is the big meal of the year. And one of the main parts of that meal is the Passover bread. Because for them, it reminds them of how quickly they had to leave Israel. They ate these unleavened breads. That's why we eat the little flat wafers with no leaven. It's because it's based off of the Passover meal. When Jesus instituted communion, it was as a part of the Passover meal. Because Passover, when they were delivered from slavery in Egypt, that's a picture of you and I coming out of sin and coming to Christ and being set free by our relationship with Him, by His death on the cross. And so that Passover bread, that flat piece of bread without any leaven, it reminds them of that Passover meal, that time when they were delivered out of slavery. And so when Jesus says, I'm the true bread of heaven, immediately that would be their thought. They would connect it back to, so you're saying that you're like that Passover bread. The other thought that would come back to them was the fact that Moses, as they're going through the wilderness, they had another kind of bread called manna, which is what God caused to miraculously appear to feed them as they were walking through. I have to get a different mask that goes with as I talk. It keeps pulling it off my nose. Anyway, so they have this manna that would show up, this miracle bread that every morning as they're going through the wilderness and nothing to eat in the middle of the wilderness, God provided miraculous bread. The third thing that would come to mind is that Jesus had just fed them 5,000 men plus women and children out in the countryside, who had come to hear him speak and come to get free medical care and, you know, see the miracles happen. And little did they know that they would get free food. One boy had five loaves and two fishes. And out of that, they fed 5,000 plus people with baskets of food left over. And they were just like, that was miraculous. And so they're coming to Jesus and they're following him. They're tracking him down and saying, we want more bread. And Jesus says, well, I'm the bread of life. And that's what it would bring to mind for them. When Jesus says he's the bread of life, it would bring all these things to mind. But you don't even have to have that kind of background, because almost every culture has bread, some kind of staple. That's the main part of their meal. In New York, one of my other favorite restaurants is called Meskerim. And it was right by, it's an Ethiopian restaurant. My wife and I rarely ate there because you eat with your hands, and it's this beautiful sourdough bread. So there's Meska, Ethiopian restaurant, and so they serve it on this plate of bread, of sourdough bread, and then you eat it with your hands with sourdough bread, and it's amazing. I was definitely fasting while I made this message. But then the next slide, so Ethiopians have this injera, which is their staple bread. Filipinos have Bandasol, yes siree. I remember the first time I did a mission trip to the Philippines, and in the morning you wake up and someone brings a fresh basket of warm, just baked pandesal for breakfast. It's amazing. It made me fall in love with the Philippines, and that's why I married a Filipino. Although she's never baked pandesal, so we'll have to work on that. But you know, every culture, whether it's the French baguette, we all just have, or for Chinese, maybe it's rice and noodles, right? That's our staple. We all have this staple that, and bread speaks of the staple, the thing our lives are built on, the things that build us up and keep us alive. So the bread is a source of life. And so that's what Jesus is calling to mind as he says that I am the bread of life. So what does it mean to feed on Jesus? So Jesus is the bread of life. He's meant to be the staple of our lives. He's meant to be the thing that we build our lives around. But what does it mean to feed on Jesus? And I'll tell you what, as Jesus, as he goes into this sermon, this is maybe some would think it's his worst sermon ever. I mean, people just hated this sermon. Jesus meant to say that I'm here to give you life, that I'm here to give you salvation. And instead, they came away with Jesus is asking us to be cannibals. He's telling us we should be sanguinarians, which is people who drink blood. I know that word because in our church in New York City, we had these people who got saved who said, yeah, we're actually like part of this vampire cult. We drink blood. We're sanguinarians. We call ourselves the sanguinarians. And I thought, you guys are weird, you know? But I didn't even know that that existed. But that's what they do. They drink blood as part of their identity. And some people, when they heard Jesus start to preach and say, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, they thought Jesus is trying to call us cannibals, trying to make us sanguinarians. And so this message, so what did Jesus actually mean? John chapter 6, verse 28 to 35. This is what it means to feed on Jesus. And this is key for us because this is really foundational to the Christian life. This is what Jesus invites us into in the Christian life. And this is often what divides whether a person is truly a follower of Jesus or not. John chapter 6, verse 28 to 35. They replied, we want to perform God's works too. What should we do? So here's what's happening. So Jesus has fed them. And they're chasing him around. In fact, after Jesus fed them, he left on a boat from that area where all those the thousands of people were and got away with his disciples. When all that crowd woke up, because after eating, getting all that free bread and fish, they thought, we're just going to hang around here. You know, free bread, free fish, free medical. It's a great place. So when Jesus had left, they tracked him down. They found out where he had gone. They went to where he was and they said, Jesus, we want some more bread and fish. We that was pretty miraculous. And Jesus starts telling them, you know, if you want this, you have to do certain works. He says, because really what you need is you need me. And so they're saying, well, yeah, we'll whatever works we need to do. We want to be followers of Jesus too. We want the free bread, the free fish, the medical. What works do we have to do? And in so many of us, that's how we come to Christianity. We experience some of the goodness of Christianity, and then we're starting saying, Jesus, what do I have to do? What works can I do? How can I earn what you get, this salvation, this joy, this peace that I experience? How can I experience this all the time? What kind of works do I need to do? And so Jesus says, he goes on to say, verse 29, Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. They answered, show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? Now, Jesus had just fed thousands of people with just five loaves and two fishes. And they're still saying, oh, we need a sign from you if you really want us to believe in you. Which is oftentimes our response to Jesus. I know it's my response. I look back and see how many times Jesus has healed me, helped me, changed my life. And yet every time it's like, what have you done for me lately, Jesus? Are you going to come through this time? Where are you, Jesus? Why are you letting me down? How did this happen in my life? Verse 31, after all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scriptures say, Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, give us that bread every day. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never again be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never again be thirsty. So what is Jesus saying here? He's saying it's not about the works you do. It's about receiving me. It's about trusting me. The miracles that happen in your life, the blessings of Christianity come through relationship with me because they come from the Father. And so step number one, what do? Believe in Jesus. They wanted more bread, but they missed the bread giver. They just wanted it separate from the relationship with God. And Jesus always is about the relationship. That's why in the Garden of Eden, right from the very start, he said you can choose life, which is walking with me every day, or you can choose to know for yourself good and evil, just dead religion. But if you choose only wanting to know good and evil for yourself and try to figure out for yourself, you're going to end up dead because life comes through your relationship with me, because life is all about relationship. So he said this, believe in Jesus. You have to trust him. John chapter 6, verse 28, 29. the verses we read. It says, we want to perform God's works too. What works should we do? This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. So that's the first. Trust Jesus. Second one, obey Jesus. Instead of doing your own thing, do the things that Jesus wants you to do. John chapter 4, verse 34. Then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God, he who sent me, and from finishing his work. Jesus said, here's where nourishment comes. It doesn't come from eating bread. It comes from doing what the Father wants me to do. And in the same way, we find nourishment, not from bread, but from doing what Jesus wants us to do. So when the Bible says, feed on me, when Jesus says, feed on me, what is he saying? He's saying, believe me, do the things that I'm asking you to do. Obey my commandments. Believe in Jesus, obey Jesus. And the third thing is become like Jesus. What does it mean to feed on Jesus? We believe Jesus, we obey Jesus, we become like Jesus. John chapter 14, verses 9 through 10. Jesus replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. What is Jesus saying here? Jesus said, you feed on me because I am feeding on the Father. And what does it mean for him to feed on the Father? He says, I do what the Father wants me to do. I've become such an expression of the Father because I so mimic what he does and think the way that he thinks and I value the things that he values. And so therefore, I have life. And now if you begin to mimic me, if you value the things I value, if you do the things that I do, if you say the things that I say, if you begin to love your neighbors, love your enemies, if you begin to reach out to the poor and do all the things that I have done, then you too will have life. And in the same way that I am a reflection of my Father, you're to be a reflection of me. So what do we do? What does it mean to feed on Jesus? What does it mean to be a Christian? Believe in Jesus, obey Jesus, become like Jesus. And how do we do this? How do we feed on Jesus? Number one, we remember his words. John chapter 6, verses 60 to 63. Many of his disciples said, this is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept it? Jesus was aware that his disciples were complaining. So he said to them, does this offend you? Then what will you think if you see the Son of Man ascend to heaven again? The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. So what are you saying? He's saying, you got to get a hold of the words that I'm speaking. Where's the life in this? It's in the words that I speak. So they're saying, Jesus, why are you telling us eat your flesh? He's saying, you missed the point. The point is, eat my words by hearing what I'm saying, by studying my words. This is why we do this, our daily reading together as a church, which I love how we're going through the daily reading every day. And I love how people are reading and reflecting on that, because as we read the word, that's what it means to feed on Jesus. This is how we do it. We read the word together and we study what Jesus said. And I love that we're going through the New Testament, because that's got all the words of Jesus, and we're in Matthew right now. And just seeing all the words of Jesus and getting those into our lives, this is what it means to feed on Jesus. This is how we become Christians. We feed on his words and say, what did Jesus teach us? What did he talk about? And don't worry if you don't understand it. The disciples didn't understand it. They're like, Jesus, what are you talking about? We don't understand what you're saying. This is very hard for us to understand, Jesus. Are you asking us to be cannibals, or what's the deal? And you see Christians still today, we're struggling. There's some blogs online where people are arguing, what does Jesus mean? And they're going back and forth. And it's been that way for thousands of years. What did Jesus mean when he said this? I don't know. And it's okay to not know. His disciples didn't understand. You just keep studying. As you study the word, you will begin to understand. It is okay not to know, because that's why God gave us his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. He'll begin to unpack the things we don't know if we just give him time. John chapter 14, verse 25 to 26. says this, I am telling you these things now while I'm still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you. So what does it mean? As you read the scripture, just ask God, ask his Holy Spirit to help you understand the scripture. And it may take time, just like Jesus' disciples. They didn't understand at first. They were just like everybody else. They were confused by Jesus' teaching. And they had been with him for 3.5 years, every day, day and night. And they still didn't get it when he talked about it. Kind of like, I've been with my wife 10 years now, day and night. And sometimes, I still don't get it. But we're working on it. And I'm just going to stick there. And I'm going to keep asking the Holy Spirit, help me understand her. No, that's, you know, but this is with God, the God of the universe. I don't know. All the other husbands and wives, I'm sure you guys don't have that problem. Just like parents and kids. Never have that problem. We know exactly what mommy wants. But you know, so with God, it just give God time. It's a process of growing together, like life. Life is a process. We don't come in fully grown, fully mature. We grow up, and it's the same in our relationship with God. What comes as God's, as we feed on Jesus, as we study his word, is his life. And that life just matures over time. But you just have to ask, when you don't understand, just ask the Holy Spirit. That's why God gave the Holy Spirit to help us understand. He knew we would be just like his disciples and sometimes saying, Jesus, what are you talking about? Okay. Next verse, John chapter 6, verse 66 through 69. At this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, are you also going to leave? Simon Peter replied, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know you are the Holy One of God. Here's what you're going to find as you follow Jesus. There are going to be those around you who reject Jesus. Those who know Christ or who are pursuing Christ or some that you're sharing Jesus with, and they're just going to say, no, I don't want that. Some people who've been Christian maybe for a long time are just going to say, you know, I'm going to stop. And at this moment, when Jesus said, here's the step that you have to take. You have to begin to obey my words, believe me. They didn't understand it. And in that misunderstanding, they just left. And so I want to encourage you, when you misunderstand, it's like, God, I don't know what you're doing in my life. It just seems like everything's going opposite of what it should. Or you come into a difficult relationship with someone else and there's a breakdown. You think, God, I don't want to stick around anymore. I want to encourage you. Jesus says, stay in there. Give it time. Be one of those who hangs around and just keep listening to the word of God. His disciples said, we don't understand any of this. We're just like those people leaving. Like, we don't get it either. We're offended. We're hurt. I don't know why life is so tough. We have a million questions. But the difference was his disciples said, we're going to stay. We're going to stick in there because I know that your words, I trust what you said. I believe you. The work, I'm doing the work you told me to do. I'm believing you, Jesus. And if you say your words have life, I'm going to keep around. I'm going to keep hanging around, keep listening to you until I feel that life come back into me. As a church, let's be those kinds of people who, when everybody else turns, when everybody else bags, let's be the people who stay committed. This is the key to any kind of relationship, whether it's a marriage relationship, a friendship, or your relationship with God. It's just learning how to stay committed through the rough spots, knowing and trusting God's promise that it's going to get better, you're going to grow, your love for him will get deeper, and you'll feel that life flowing back into you again. So how do we feed on Jesus? Remember his words. Read them, study them, ask the Holy Spirit to keep reminding you. Get into a small group where you talk about the words of God. Come to church where you're reminded. Get some Christian fellowship. The second thing, listen to his voice. My sheep, John chapter 10, verse 27 to 28. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them from me. Now listen to the voice of Jesus, that's difficult. Like, most of us don't grow up knowing how to listen to the voice of Jesus. It's not something I learned as a kid. It's not something I even practiced even when I was a pastor. So listening to the voice of Jesus. But Jesus says, this is marks anybody who follows me. So it's an essential part of being a Christian. If you're a sheep of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, a Christian, you should be able to hear Jesus' voice. But it may take time, and it's something that we develop. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But Jesus told him, No, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So Jesus said, I'm not talking about natural bread. I'm talking about the words that I speak. And so all of us, we're created with an ability to hear God's voice. But we just have to develop that ability as we follow God, as we read His Word. And this is where the Word of God comes first. You start by reading the Word, because as we read the Word, the more that we read the Word and seek to know Jesus through the Word, the more we get familiar with hearing His voice. This is something that we develop over time. But we need to, it's a mark of a Christian. My sheep know my voice. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If that sounds strange, you're in good company. All of Jesus' disciples said, all this teaching Jesus sounds strange. I don't understand it. It's okay. Stick in there. Just keep asking God. God, you show me what it means to hear your voice. You show me how to read your word and get life out of it. And I assure you that God will do that. Why do we do this? Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 3 says this. Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink, even if you have no money. Come, take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Next verse. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food, the best bread ever. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen and you'll find life. So it's in the listening that we find life. It's in the hearing of Jesus' words, the reading of His words, that we eat this bread. And what happens to us? We get life. We enter into this eternal covenant. And what is the eternal covenant? Jesus says He's going to give us new hearts, hearts that know Him, hearts that connect with His heart, hearts that fall in love with Him. And then we're going to get His unfailing love that He promised to David. You know, as we close today, I think it's appropriate that we would just take communion together. Jesus' body and His blood. I'm going to ask them, you know, Jesus, as people were following Him, and He said, you know, you're just following me because I fed you, but you misunderstood the miraculous signs. Jesus said, there's more than just bread. There's miracles for whatever you need. And today, as we close, I want to invite you, if you have something somewhere in your life that you need a miracle, we want to especially today pray for those who are in need of miracles. Like you have an illness in your body that the doctors say there's no hope, there's no cure for it, you just got to live with it. Or there's a broken relationship in your life that you say there's no way to mend that relationship. Or if you've got just an addiction in your life you can't break free from. If you have some area of your life where it seems like you need a miracle, I'm going to invite the prayer team down, all those who, if you want to come and pray for folks, come on to the front and let's believe God. We're not here just for, you know, bread, but we're here because we need God's miracle power in our lives. Amen. Father, we are so thankful for Jesus who gave His life for us, not just so we could be blessed, but we could be blessed in with Your life inside of us, that life-transforming sense of Your presence. We're so thankful for Your Word that teaches us and guides us. God, I pray that we would be a people who walk with You, who believe You, who obey You, and who start to look like You. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.